Good evening. This is the regularly scheduled meeting of the Programs and Services Committee. It's Wednesday, January 4th, 2012, and it's about 7:52. Joining us tonight are Alderman Hess Mahan from Ward 3, Alderman Carlton Merrill from Ward 1, Alderman Dick Blazer from Ward 6, Alderman John Rice, Alderman John Rice from Ward 5, Vice Chair, Alderman Steve Linsky from Ward 2, our committee clerk from Rebecca Smith, and I'm Amy Sandillo, the chair of the committee. The first item we have on the docket is item number 474-08-2, Alderman Hess Mahan and Vance proposing that Article 10 of the Rules and Orders of the Board of Aldermen be amended to conform with the proposed amendment to Chapter 30 regarding the transfer of the special permit granting authority to the Zoning Board of Appeals and or the Planning and Development Board for projects that are not classified as major projects pursuant to Article 10. Land use voted no action necessary on November 1st, 2011. The Rules Subcommittee recommended NAN on December 7th, 2011. Alderman Hess Mahan.
Okay. Alderman Baker, who chairs the Rules Subcommittee, isn't here, but I do chair the Land Use Committee. And this was my item, along with Alderman Vance. Essentially, what we were trying to do was look for a way to streamline the process for special permits that didn't require the same level of review as, say, a shopping center or Chestnut Hill Square or something like that, or Riverside. And we were looking at a dividing line to make that possible to do. In discussing it with the planning department and the law department, we can do it. The issue was the planning department, because of our other rules having to do with zoning review by the chief zoning officer and the various other steps, sign review team, and all those other things that you have to go through, they estimated there wouldn't really be much time savings sending it to, say, the ZBA or the planning board, save for the fact that it wouldn't have two votes. In other words, instead of having land use approve it and then have a subsequent vote by the full board, you just have one night in ZBA, but there was no guarantee that they could do it. The other issue was, and again, this is not to cast aspersions on the ZBA or the planning board, but they're unelected and they don't have necessarily the representation that you would want on a professional board of appeals that would be looking at these kinds of issues for a planner or some or land use lawyer or something like that, people who are used to dealing with these issues and understand the laws. So there would have been a steep learning curve with that. In addition to that, this is the last thing to say about it, is that in also talking to the planning department, there may be another way of achieving the same goal, which I am in discussions with them about, and not to keep it under a cover, but one of the things that came out of the Zoning Reform Group and talking to Jen Malinsky and Candace Havens about it, who's the Director of Planning, and Jen Malinsky, who's former senior planner, who's staff in the Zoning Reform Group, is to look at administrative reviews for various types of special permits or what we require special permits for now that, and I'll just throw as an example, FAR, where very often it's practically de minimis what we're granting. Yet we make them go through the whole special permit process. In addition to tweaking the FAR ordinance, perhaps allowing for administrative review if it's not over a certain percentage or some other dividing line. Anyway, long story short, there's another way to do this that perhaps would achieve the same purpose, which was basically streamlining and shortening the process and lessen the burden on applicants without losing the public review for projects that have a substantial impact on the neighborhood. So that's why I recommend NAN on it. It's not that I won't be still looking for ways to make things more efficient. The other thing is having Dick Blazer on the Land Use Committee, I mean, things just go so fast now.
Well, yeah. that's a big loss.
I just thought I'd get that in there. We're going to miss you, Dick.
Which committee did he end up going to?
Finance.
The shuffling of the guide over. So.
He scratched his way onto the Land Use Committee, scratched his way off again, and then scratched his way onto finance.
He had hostages.
Very nice. Alderman Linsky.
First I should say as a footnote that I'm still recovering from the Iowa caucuses last night, okay? Because all I know is that midterm was up 4 when I went to bed, there's one precinct left. But I think I'm recovering.
He only lost by 8.
4 votes or 4%?
4 votes.
4 votes. It was
oh, my God. Amen. So, to Ted's point, though, I mean, when this was docketed and when the last votes were taken by Land Use and the Subcommittee, It was not known that Dick Blaser was moving off of land. That could change people's minds. But not mine. I'm still of the mindset that I as I told that, even if I'm a minority of one in this, I think it's right. And to the point about, you know, level of expertise, that's very fixable, okay? That's just a question of who you appoint, okay? And for that matter, we could go into the amending the, you know, ZBA ordinance to require certain backgrounds. We can do that very easily. So I don't think that that's... No, we can.
We tried that. We tried that in this committee. We had a docket item with Alderman Johnson. Oh, was it a ZAP? Oh, maybe it was a ZAP. But we did try that. And we got a lot of pushback, not only from the ZBA folks, but also from the mayor's office about how we proceed with it.
But to the point, I mean, I don't see that as the hurdle that should be here. And apart from the two votes versus one votes, it's also the point that you know, which is the nub on, you know, this board serving as a special permit granting authority, which is that second hat that a lot of people just still never get comfortable with now. Understand? I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it when it is a major, you know, project, because then okay, the politics and the other role kind of mesh a little better. But when you get into the residential stuff and people can't, particularly ward aldermen who can't get used to taking up that ward aldermanic hat to say, no, I'm a member of a permitting body. I'm supposed to take a different view of it. It's just it's hard, and therein lies the rub. So I think this is a great idea. I'm saddened that it's running a scheme. I'm not suggesting that there aren't other potential fixes and looking at administrative reviews. Well, at least in theory, possibly. But I think this is a good concept. I really do. And I don't think it's mutually exclusive with doing other things either. Right? It's not just that one thing is necessarily going to, you know, advance us as far as we want to go, but this is an important element. So I will, if the motion, whatever that is for anything but approval, I would be voting in the negative.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment?
You would all in here?
Right.
Actually, I'll move approval. Why don't we do this? I mean, it can be a negative vote. I will move approval of the item.
Okay, so there's a motion to approve the item. Are there any comments on the motion? Hello, hi, former Alderman Parker. We're on the first item, so you have time. Okay, so I'm going to weigh in on this. I thought this was a good idea, but I hear what the planning department is saying and suggesting in terms of the appointed members. And again, Alderman Johnson did have an item, and we did try to change the membership, and we did try to put qualifications, and we had a lot of pushback on that.
Blowback.
Yeah, and granted, it was the incumbents that didn't want to change how they were selected, but still. In terms of it going administrative, I think that's a great way to go. My only concern is if we do that, what happens with the appeals process? Can it still be appealed?
Well, that's the question. I mean, it's we have to work that out.
Okay.
I haven't gotten anywhere near to docketing something yet.
Uh-huh.
It came out of a conversation that followed the last meeting and presentation by the zoning reform group, because they were basically arguing for something like this, and discussing with the planning department even before then. And that would generate a lot of discussion with the planning department. Well, how would we do this? How would it look? They consulted both the planning board and the zoning board of appeals. Neither one, in their current constitution at least, were particularly interested in taking on special permits for any number of reasons. But I think that's one of the things that we have to work out. I haven't docketed anything yet for that very reason, because I want to see how it looks first. There are other cities and towns who do it, so I could ask her, you know, how they deal with. I would expect, just like with administrative site plan review, the problem is not a review and appeal process, which is why we'd have to go incrementally with doing it. It would have to be for things. I mean, for instance, right now we do site plan review for things like... Well, for accessory apartments, we can do administrative review process. For certain size lots with certain size buildings on them, if they qualify, otherwise you have to go through a special permit process. I was thinking more in line with the things that we do around FAR and some of the other more minor things like parking waivers under five, four, or not parking waivers under five, parking the front setback or side setback, which comes before our committee a lot. Sometimes it's the only relief people are requesting. For eons, they've had, you know, parking too wide in the front setback. Well, they're not allowed to do that. So what do they do about that? And does that really need to come for a special permit, or is the only relief being sought? So I think we need to really look at what kinds of relief people are looking for in addition to, you know, how often it's going to come up as a problem. I just felt like, and again, the major versus minor distinction, when I started looking at it, things like parking waivers, a major project is defined as one with five or more parking waivers. That may not be a big deal in some neighborhoods, but in others, it could be a huge deal. Right. So, I mean, it really just, it gets so fact-specific. I just felt it was an arbitrary line to draw this at, and that we ought to probably take an ordinance-by-ordinance, special permit-by-special permit approach to it, to make sure that, you know, we sort of, like the Hippocratic Oath, first we do no harm. I mean, I just want to make sure. And I also recognize that when we repealed footnote 7, you know, it had a much more dramatic impact than I think anybody on the board thought it ever would. So I'm much more cautious about doing these things now. Getting old.
Okay, so there's a motion on the table for approval. There's no more comments. All those in favor? That's Alderman Linsky and Alderman Merrill. All those opposed?
Is there any, your motion now?
The motion is to approve.
Move to approve.
Okay, so
you have to speak up.
Okay, I'm sorry. So the motion
well,
is to approve.
I thought you were with me.
Alderman Linsky, all those opposed?
There we are.
One, two, five. Three, four, five. So the motion fails to carry. So do we have to do another motion?
Yeah.
So is there a motion NAN?
Yes. Motion NAN.
All those in favor of NAN? That's five. All those opposed? That's one. Thank you. Okay, the next item is item number 306-08. Alderman Baker, Danberg, Mansfield, and Parker requesting discussion of how swimming at Crystal Lake might be lawfully and safely extended beyond mid-August. Joining us tonight is Carol Stapleton, Bob Jerusalem.
Yes.
Oh,
what's
Bill.
Oh, I know.
And we also have former Alderman Parker and Alderman Linsky, I'm going to ask you to take over. I'm going to see if I can get Alderman Danberg.
Okay. Well, it's not as if we never discussed this item, but I know Ted is going to unveil, I should say, a new thing this year instead of the fork in an item like this. He's going to put a hose in it.
Okay.
What do you think?
There you go.
And drain it.
I don't want anybody giving me a hose in
New term. Ken, do you want to...
I had emailed Amy to inquire as to whether the committee and the board actually passed a resolution. Honestly, I think we may have while I was still on the board.
Last term?
Okay. Oh, cool. I know that I was.
But you can take full credit.
No, not at all.
No, take it.
I just couldn't remember. 23-1 it passed. Wow, impressive. Anything ever passed it.
Mm-hmm.
I vaguely remember seeing a response that said that there was going to be an attempt to do an additional week, but depending on availability, there'd be a good faith sort of effort. But I can't remember. Yeah, I don't, of course, get the packets anymore. So I guess my first question, Amy sent me an email saying there's a whole bunch of things you're a co-docketor of. What do you think about them? And so my first question on this was, like, where exactly is it? So resolution passed, but the response from the Parks and Rec Commission, there were sort of two things, I guess, as I recall it. So there was a request for the additional week, and then there was also the swim at your own risk request. Am I remembering this right?
Well, this one, just the docket, just extending the period beyond mid-August.
And we are joined by Alderman Danvers.
So this was just the additional week or two kind of resolution.
That's what this one is.
This one right here is for the swim at your own risk.
Oh, this is the swim at your own risk one I'm looking at.
It was a public meeting that last time.
So there were two things that the docket item was intended to do. One was to expand the duration of the swimming season, which had been ended, I believe, August like 16th
15th,
or
15th,
one summer, and it's been creeping earlier and earlier. Of course, historically, it went through Labor Day weekend, and Carol, of course, will know the details of exactly when it's been, and I know there was a problem with some of the lifeguards going back to school, creative ideas around the table last time this came up about whether someone could find people who were doing the stuff, working at the Y, for example, as lifeguards, working at indoor pools. There were a number of different suggestions. And also the bottom line being that there were obviously some obstacles, and it seemed like there was an inclination to try to overcome those obstacles. That was one thread of the discussion. The other thread of the discussion, of course, was the swim at your own risk policy, and I don't know if where that's gotten to, but I know that there was a lot of thought rather than having people, we have essentially a de facto swim at your own risk now, where people jump in the lake all over the place, often at the opposite side of the lake over at Cronin's Cove. And the idea was to sort of structure that so that people during the off season or would be swimming at their own risk or with at least from the beach area and not randomly from all over the place. So those were the two. Now, I guess this resolution only addresses one of those two things. So I guess what I ask Amy and our chairman, Sangiolo, in response to her email was whether there had been any indication whether the mayor was supportive of either of these things, because I think ultimately coming to a solution, first of all, that might require more money if we're talking about another week of swimming. That's going to need an appropriation from the mayor. And also in terms of the policy, and you know, if the mayor is behind finding a solution to allow some swimming at your own risk, I think it'll happen, and I think if the mayor's not interested, it probably won't. So, I mean, I actually said in my email that I thought if there had been a resolution and the mayor was not favorably inclined to do it, that maybe NAN would be appropriate. Former Alderman Mansfield responded to that by saying he thought it was still worth pursuing, but, you know, as Ted likes to say, at a certain point you've got to insert a serving implement. Oh, no, please. No. Don't Google that.
Bachman.
I'm right. So,
Wendell Bachman.
Like that Bachman. So anyway, so my to me, that's the bottom line, is there interest from the from the mayor, in particular, in pursuing these things?
Go ahead, continue.
Oh, I'm continuing? Okay. Well, do you want anything before we get to Carol, who can give us an update?
I think Ken pretty much laid it out as I would have. And I understand that there is or will be a group that's looking at Crystal Lake and the whole swim at your own risk issue. And that is something that has not been decided and has I don't think that the mayor has come to a conclusion as to where he really stands on that. But there are two issues involved. One is swim at your own risk off-season, which I think people would have much less of an issue with, and then swim at your own risk all during the season, that I think there would be much more resistance to.
We're joined by Carol Stapleman, Parks and Rec.
We have extended the lake for another week, so it is now closing 23rd, 24th, for the last couple of years. We just feel that we can just squeeze that last week out of those kids by shortening hours and moving schedules around so that we can just barely make it to the end of the week of the 22nd.
What about kid alternatives?
Why do you have to change hours?
The kids are off doing sports. So they're off doing practice and whatever in the morning. And
but what I think had been come up in that discussion, Ken just referred to it earlier, is what about alternatives to the kids who were going off to school?
For, like you mean, oh yes, we went, Alderman Danberg gave us some names at the Y. We went through every college we could. We started in March.
Well, not colleges, that's the point.
Yeah, we did everywhere we could possibly get an advertise. We put an ad in the paper on Craigslist for lifeguards to go to Labor Day.
Carol, wasn't there also an issue of pond versus school?
Yes, lifeguards are trained differently at a pool than they are at a lake.
Okay.
So anybody that responded that was pool-oriented, unless they had their waterfront certification.
City waterfront, okay.
Yeah. So we did. And every year we make a concerted effort to try to stay open and to hire people outside of the city. I mean, this past year I hired 8 new staff, and they're all high school kids, great kids, but then I'll have them for, 4 or 5 years coming up.
Yeah.
But again, they're all athletes.
They're athletes, and they have
all
their...
All athletes.
Can we look at the situation at the beginning of every season and see if we're going to need 3 because we're losing 3 to school mm-hmm. programs, let's say, and then go to the Y and other places and during the summer get these people to get their pond certification?
Yeah, we offered to teach it mm-hmm. to anybody that thought that they could... be with us until after Labor Day, so we have made the effort.
Yeah, I wonder if there would be retirees that were, when they were teenagers, who were lifeguards, mm-hmm. who would now be willing to...
We've talked to a couple, and again, they still would have to have their certification as a lifeguard.
And I'm sure be recertified. But.
Yeah, and then that's a major time commitment, and for the kids, it's a huge money commitment. It's like $225 for them to complete the lifeguarding course.
That's a good thing to have.
Yeah, absolutely, especially if you're a WSI water safety instructor, because then you can teach, and you get paid more for that. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate the effort, man. I think that it sounds as if you just have to start it earlier. Now.
We do. We start it right.
And I could see maybe college seniors who are going to figure out after they graduate. It's a great thing to kind of walk into while you're searching out other things.
Yeah, we have definitely made the effort, and by adding that extra week, as I said, it's always. I mean, if I can go back historically, it's been a cold, damp week, and then the week after we close, it's 100.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this year when we closed,
summer, yeah.
4 days later we had the hurricane. Mm-hmm. So, and we were lucky to, honestly, I'll say, to get the docks out of the water for that hurricane, but yeah.
It's my understanding that the Recreation Commission has sole authority to give the approval in that area that we use for under the control of the city. Outside of that, private property, that's the police matter. And I don't see, unless the Recreation Commission will come through and say, yes, we have the lifeguards for this extended period, I think we have no choice but to hold this matter, and hopefully they'll find the bodies to be the lifeguards. As far as the private property is concerned, that is still a police matter, regardless of what approval we give.
And with regard to the swim at your own risk, we have received a petition after the public hearing that we had in September. And it will go before the Parks Recreation Commission in January, and then we'll hold a public hearing again in February. And we'll probably have it in the chambers again. And then the commission will vote and rule on the pros and cons. But the petition that we have is for our swimming, and the consideration that we have from everybody is the entire lake, 12 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the entire lake. And it's for not just Cronin's Cove, but anywhere on the lake. So it would be, in a sense, it would be, if we were to operate our program, there would be people swimming outside of them.
I'd like to move that the item be held. Give the Recreation Commission time to see if they can come up with bodies. I know they've tried, but there's nothing like extending the time, and hopefully they've come up with the bodies that are needed. Other than that, I wouldn't feel free to vote in favor of this. I don't want that liability.
Well, Carton, this is a discussion item, so we can't. It's not an action item. So, the only question would be before we get to the motions is whether or not we want to redock it. I mean, or keep it on the docket for further discussion, not action.
Yeah, no, I recommend the item be held.
Okay. Vicki, did you?
One point that I was going to suggestion that I was going to make. Is that we go to BC and BU and the local colleges' swim teams, because when we have graduating seniors, I remember when I had little kids, I got a graduating senior who didn't get a job to be my swim nanny, and that might be a good place for us to start.
That's a great idea.
Just a couple of thoughts. One is that if people are camp counselors and during the summer are doing late lifeguarding duty in a lake at Camp Chickamee or wherever, when that summer is over, maybe they'll have a couple weeks before they have another commitment. So that might be another place to explore.
I'm trying
every year, I guess. Right. Okay. Well, there's a lot of summer camps around. And I know even some of the local kids go up to Maine and are counselors at those places too. So there's always probably more opportunity to explore those kinds of connections. But in terms of the other issue, the swim at your own risk, I would just suggest, regardless of how that petition was worded, that it shouldn't be looked as an all or nothing issue. And there's I think a lot of possible shades of gray and increments to how one could have a policy that could give. I mean, I don't think it makes sense to have people jumping in the lake from any which side. I do think it makes sense to have a swim at your own risk policy if it's, for example, from the beach when the beach isn't open. And that way you can have people, there's no lifeguard on duty. You see it at Houghton's Pond, you see it at Walden Pond, you see it in a lot of the area. Bodies of water where there's no lifeguard on duty, there's swim at your own risk at other times. And that would be the thing that I would be comfortable with just as a neighbor at this point.
It would certainly be a place to start, and I don't think that it would have the opposition and the liability all year that it would have if we looked at what the petition is requiring or asking. Which is any time all season.
She's back.
I just want to say a couple things. One is, I don't think the swim at your own risk policy is part of this docket item, and it's going to go on forever, a long time until that's decided, from what I can gather. So I don't really think we need to talk about the swim at your own risk policy in regard to this item. And as far as this item is concerned, in the interest of trying to get things off the chairman's docket, which I think is a good idea, this item requests a discussion of how swimming at Crystal Lake might be lawfully and safely extended beyond mid-August. We've had the discussion. I think it's clear that there's a lifeguarding problem that is being worked on as by Carol, and I don't really see any reason to keep it on the docket at this point. So my feeling is that as far as this item is concerned, we should find a way to get it off.
This was an 08 item.
Yeah.
And from, as Dick says, since 08, we have found a way to extend it another week. And I think that, I'm comfortable with this having been acted on in probably the best way that we can act on it for now. And in the interest of getting this one off the docket, I'd be comfortable with ending it.
Ken?
Yeah, Ken. Certainly, NAN making this go away is perfectly amenable to me. Just wanted to share a little history. Before Dick was on the board, the original version of the item did talk, and Lila drafted up a big thing about swim at your own risk was part of this. It's extending it beyond mid-August wasn't limited to the scope of this resolution, which sort of grew out of it. So I think the whole discussion, both parts, are consistent with the docket item. Doesn't mean the docket item, as you say, needs to stay around forever, but I think it's germane while it's still here to have that sort of little update and give that input and discussion. Well, if this is going to be an end, or even if it's not going to be an end, I wanted to throw out there one related thing while Carol's here, because it's something I was walking around there a lot. You know, we have, of course, the back of that we have the sort of right of way and proper and passage, which slopes will recall we bought two properties essentially. We bought the Hannon property, and then
we spent a heck of a lot of money.
So folks may recall that there was a Crystal Lake task force that had that I served on and had a lot of recommendations that were going to cost a few million dollars, but that never really, I think, went anywhere as far as I can tell. Maybe the mayor has something in mind, certainly hasn't let us know, the former members of that commission, yet. But one thing that I find is when you walk now from from the cove, Levingston Cove, you can walk behind the house that we bought that right of way to, and then you sort of get to a fence. Yeah. And even though it's off season now, of course, you can jump, the fence is very low, and you can sort of jump over it to the wall there and walk along the wall the rest of the way, and then, you know, to the other side of the beach, and then go up along the sort of the alley side by the T-tracks, and that gate's always unlocked, so you can go out that way. But it's not particularly welcoming, and it would be a lot better just to complete that connection and open up the gate there, the low gate on what would be, I guess, on the Levingston Cove side of the beach is closed off. And there's kind of a little bit of brambly bush there. It's not hard to get through, but it would be better not to have that dead end there. And it'd be a really minor amount of work, I think, to clear a couple bushes out of there, extend that a couple feet, and open up that gate, sure, essentially. And then so people could sort of enjoy that beach during the off season.
Sure.
So that would be one minor suggestion.
Conservation Commission.
Why would they say? But you're not making any physical changes.
If you pull in bushes.
They already did approve the work that was done.
In front of the house.
Behind the house.
I think to remove vegetation. I only say this because I just went through this process with Eastgate Brook.
Well, I think they probably already did approve it, and I think it just wasn't finished. But I'm not sure, because I don't think they said you must stop here 2 feet from the property line.
I'll check.
But anyway, whatever was approved hopefully incorporates that, and if not, heck, if it needs another approval, it's probably worth it. Worth going through that process.
Well, we've had some discussion. Let's try for some closure. Alderman Merrill, you had moved a hold. You heard that the docketers themselves are satisfied, since it's just a discussion item, and since it was docketed 4 years ago and there has been an extension of the program since that time, that they're comfortable with NA. Do you want to?
Yeah, I go with NA.
Okay. So Alderman Merrill has moved NA on the item. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of NAN? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mitch isn't
voting. No, you're not voting.
No, I'm not voting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Opposed? None. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sorry. Give back. Okay. 6 in favor. Opposed? None. And all members are present voting. So the two members not present. The item has passed 6-0.
Before we go on to the next item, I'd just like to make the comment that I remember asking that question that Ken just asked, why don't we continue that? And I'd very much like to have that happen. Somebody told me that the reason that they stopped there was that there was a wall, and unless you make it handicap accessible, you can't continue. Well, you have to leave it the way it is. Because if you start changing things, then you're into the requirement for making it handicap HP accessible. I don't know whether that was hearsay or whether that's the truth, but
And hearsay can be true, too.
You're talking about a lot of truth now. All right, well, I'll take care of that.
Correct. It's not admissible in court.
Okay, you stay, and now the chair returns.
You want me to take over?
If you want.
I don't know. The next item is item number 287-07-2, Alderman Parker requesting a discussion with Parks and Rec Department in regards to an appropriate marker or plaque to honor and recognize Olympic figure skater and Newton resident Tenley Albright and her skating exhibition at the Crystal Lake upon her return from the 1956 Olympic Games where she won a gold medal. Alderman Parker?
You can see another oldie but a goodie, right? 2007. Yeah, so we're going back in time. Oh, the next one's 06. Batters continues. This was on some anniversary, I think this came up, 30th or 50th or something anniversary. Yep. This item came up. I don't want to mention any names at this point, partially because my memory might not be good enough, but also partially because I'm not sure people wanted to publicly commit. But my understanding is that there is an inclination to make donations from the community if a revolving fund is set up on this, including, I believe, from some relatives of Dr. Albright. And so I think there's obviously whatever happened would need Parks and Rec Commission approval, maybe Conservation Commission approval, maybe the Federal Bureau of Investigation would have to come down and look at. I don't know what the rules and procedures would be. But one thing I know that the Board of Aldermen can do is set up a revolving account to start taking donations. Could start talking about the scope of design, just getting a rough sense of what the options are, if there's interest in doing this. And the range of things would be a little plaque on a tree, or maybe not on a tree because you don't want to hurt the tree, on a stone wall, up to a statue. I mean, there's a whole range of possibilities there, and if there's interest in doing this, this is a very accomplished Newton resident, and it seems like it would be a nice thing to do. This was I didn't think of this on my own. I docketed this because a constituent. It told me the whole history and said the Board of Aldermen, the city should be doing something about this. So I filed the item. At first, there was like a lot of momentum for a little while. And then, I remember what happened. We had the whole Crystal Lake Task Force. And so people were like, oh, they'll come up with a big plan. And so they met for a couple of years. And as always seems to happen in Newton, wrote a big, interesting, detailed report. Carol, you were at many of those meetings. A lot of controversy about things, refining every little detail of every condition, and of course, nothing ever becomes of it. So it's like a lot of intellectual power went into that report, and money too. It was not that cheap. It was paid for with CPA funds, as I recall. But anyway, so there's a report that nothing ever came of. So maybe a revolving account would allow something to happen. The Board of Aldermen can create a revolving account. So that would be my suggestion. Is do a straw poll of the committee. If people are interested in doing something for Dr. Albright, then the easiest thing would be to set up a revolving account and maybe have a conversation with the Parks and Rec Commission about what they think would be appropriate there.
Okay, Alderman Merrill, before I recognize you, I want to hear from Carol Stapleton.
I've given a fair amount of thought to location. I was chairman of the committee when the young lady came back. We had a big parade from Newtonville Square up to Newton Highlands. And if you're going to honor somebody, have the recognition where people will see. Now, you can put it on the bathhouse over at Crystal Lake. People that go swimming there say it's just dirty swim turn. My suggestion would be that if we had a recommendation, that this be handled in an area which is somewhat close to her home. And I think in terms of that playground up there in Newton Islands.
There's a lot of controversy there. The World War II Memorial, yes.
People go and they see it, they recognize it, hopefully if we could get the funds, it might be a volunteer type of thing, where the funds are contributed, and I think of the clock downstairs. that was for Terry O'Halloran. That was all done through people in Newton Conn, myself, that donated to have that clock made, and that people come in, they look up. It has to be wound up every week, but at least people see the sign, it's a recognition. And I think anything that's done for Tenley should be in an area where people are going to see it. There are probably the youngsters today don't even know who Tenley Albright is. Yet she won a gold medal, something, you know. So that would be my suggestion, that we perhaps encourage some type of a committee set up to raise funds, and it won't be that expensive. I was chairman of the committee that made the plaque out here for Wendell Bachman. And we wanted something that people could see. And obviously they do see it. And it wasn't that expensive, quite frankly. And so that would be my hope, that we could get something going and not have this go on and go on and go on. 56 to today. How many years is that? You know. And I think it's time that we do something while she is still around.
Okay. Carol?
If I could ask the committee to allow me to continue to work with Alderman Baker on this item. We have talked back and forth, and when he comes to Crystal Lake, we've talked long and hard about a beautiful bench for her in the new property at Crystal Lake. And knowing as we do now, if you've been by the lake recently, it's completely under construction. All the Hannon property is completely turned over. This is part of the stormwater maintenance program. And we knew that this was coming. So all the area where we had thought about putting benches in, we have five families that are interested in purchasing permanent benches there. Once this project is done...
You mean donating, Carol?
Sorry?
You're donating, not purchasing.
Families will...
We know.
Yes. Okay. Oh, I lost my train of thought. Okay.
No, you're talking about the construction
going on.
It would have been finished by now, but they hit ledge, and so we had to stop, and they'll pick it up.
What are they doing?
This is a stormwater. This is again a conservation commission issue. That sheeting that comes off the parking lot, it comes through and then goes into the water.
Yeah.
It was an order of conditions, so they're laying pipe and creating all kinds of
French drain.
Absolutely, so that I no longer have to hire a bathhouse to attend kids who are strong enough to lift sandbags and put them out. So it was going along beautifully. They had big, beautiful pipes and everything, and all of a sudden I just heard this noise, and just, it was ledge.
They're not talking about trees, are they?
There's no roots. So,
under the parking lot?
Just on this. Just as you enter into the Hannon property from the bathhouse side. Because we've already hit ledge in the parking lot, and we hit it in the driveway.
Mm. And Janice Bork told me today that it could be granted.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's hard. That's valuable.
DPW could work with the streets with...
So now, once we restore this park, and then we can go back and talk to the families, and also... Alderman Baker and I have often talked about, because to put a plaque on the building, it would fall off. I mean, the building itself, the structure of the building is not.
Of course, we've seen it can grow legs and walk.
Yeah, and that, yes, and then putting it on the wall on the beach, I mean, really, nobody would really see it.
The better idea.
Yeah.
And granite is the best.
Okay.
Granite benches.
Kind of cold.
So Alderman Baker and I, we go back and forth on this, and then every once in a while we remember that it's here, and we talk, and he's away, and so here I am. So
Carol, just to follow up, so you're working with Alderman Baker on it, but Parks and Rec is all fine with...
I don't think we'd have an issue with that.
Okay, but it hasn't gone before them yet.
Oh, no. Okay. And actually, I wouldn't want to speak for them, so I would have to...
What's the price on the bench?
Well, those benches that we have out now that you see all over the city, they're running close to $1,000, $1,200, which also includes installation. Mm-hmm. So, and it's the one on Conn Ave is the one that I like the most because it's just where it's located, and the family maintains the grounds mm-hmm. around it, so it's just mm-hmm. very, very pretty. Yeah. And so from what I understand from Alderman Baker, her family would be all over this, so...
Okay, Alderman Rice,
yeah, and then I'll come. Yeah, I don't think we need a revolving fund because there's enough nonprofits, meaning the Crystal Lake Conservancy is a nonprofit 503C, the Friends yeah. of Crystal Lakes, and the Newton House Community Development, mm-hmm. meaning the Hyde, the Brigham House, all those groups can take nonprofit donations in and buy it instead of creating the city doing it, I think. Because it may only be $1,000, so to create a revolving fund for you know, something that's a couple thousand dollars and would be kind of... That's my point.
Alderman Danberg, and then... Ken. A question for anybody around the table. Does anybody know where Tenley Albright is? Does she grew up in Newton. Does she still live here? Does she have family here?
Brothers.
She herself lives on Suffolk Road?
She's one of Lyle's neighbors.
About five houses down from him.
Okay. And when we were doing the skating rink, and I was having a conversation with Seti on it, Seti mentioned that, I think, he went to school with Tenley's child, son, daughter. Would you be contemporary, Ken? Do you remember anybody?
Yeah, I graduated high school in the same year as Seti, but you
yeah.
Scott
would know. You don't remember an Albright in your class?
Well, it would be in at South. He's at South.
Right.
So,
right.
Albright
is at North.
All
right,
yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Because if the Albrights are here, then maybe we could get something together for this season. That'd be nice. Do.
Vicki's thinking along the same lines that I am. John, the reason why I suggest a revolving account isn't because there aren't other financial mechanisms, just because it would be an impetus, something just for that purpose. Once it's set up, but then it's like, okay, let's get some donations. It's just to get the ball rolling. It's sort of because it wouldn't be for any other purpose. You'd say, oh, this is the Tenley Albright revolving account. How much money is in there? And depending on how much money is raised for... I mean, one writes a check to the, you know, Lake whatever group, you know, the Conservancy. Maybe that goes to some other worthy cause. But
oh, no. What I'm saying is I've worked a number of, like, but we put a Vietnam memorial in the north where we said... Okay, we're going to just raise $3,000, and that 3,000 minute history, it goes over. All you need is one person to come.
Don't get me wrong, John. I'm not saying that there would be someone sneaking off with the money and using it for a park bench somewhere else or a tree or something, yeah. Something nefarious like that. But I'm just saying that the board taking some action, some affirmative step, I think, and then you could, once you take the step, then you can let people know this fund has been established by the city. And there's something a little more official about the city doing it than the city sort of saying, oh, one of these nonprofits will take care of it. I guess the area council is an official.
Yes, the area council can do it as well. But the area council can't take nonprofit. I mean, it can't be deductible by it's a city donation.
Right, right.
Where the nonprofits can be.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not wedded to the idea of the revolving account. I just like to see the committee do something that gets this, as Vicki said, done for this spring. So.
And I think what I've found in the past is you need one person to take the lead and say, we're going to make this
happen.
Are you
volunteering?
No. I have so many other projects. Meaning,
if you are sick, so maybe Dick or Vicki wants to take the lead on it. But it needs to be, obviously, a city official who can nudge around the building and make it happen. But, yeah, no, I think maybe even just a straw poll of the committee saying that, resolution saying, like, to have it happen this season, you know. That, something like that.
Yeah.
Just because, again, it's been on the dockets for one tenth as long as it had been since she returned, one tenth of that 50 years.
I'm going to suggest that I don't, because this is similar to the last item, it's a discussion item, so it's not really an action item. And it sounds like Carol is working with Lyle in terms of moving forward with the project, and that we still have to wait until whatever they're doing with the stormwater has been completed. But there seems to be this commitment, at least, you know, to move forward with it. So I'm not so sure that we need a straw vote to do anything. I think it's a worthy cause, and I mean, if you wanted us to write in the report that the committee unanimously thinks this is a great idea, maybe that could be reported out that way.
That's a straw vote, right?
But
there.
And then we can NA in the item. I mean, that's just my recommendation. We've heard from
the
where we get it off
the. She was given an award by the city.
Oh, she was? Okay.
A small, taller vehicle that was consistent with the regulations of the Olympic group. Oh. It dictated as to how much could be spent and so forth. It's one of those small boys, probably a little minnow could swim around it, and that's about it. And I think it's time that something that's really... it's out there that people can see. She probably got a mantelpiece at home, you know. But it should be more than just a little Paul Revere ball.
Carol?
She was asked by the board.
She was?
Yes. I think it was 09. They brought her up.
Yeah. Oh, right. No, I remember that. Right.
Carl, do you remember where that was? Was that Innsbruck in 56?
Yeah, that was she got the... return in 56, I think it was probably 57, when she came back here, it was the JCs or the Junior Chamber of Commerce at that time.
Do you remember where the Olympics took place in 1956? Was it Innsbruck?
No.
No.
It was Innsbruck. I think it was Cortina, Italy. But I could be wrong.
52 was Helsinki.
Check it out.
Come on, Ted, look it up.
Google us. Stretch this meeting one.
You're moving on.
You just do it while we're
talking. That's my proposal that we NA in the item, but before we do, we report out that the committee is fully committed to seeing this.
During 2012.
Yeah.
Yes. All those in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much. The next and final item. Thank you, Carol.
Thanks. Cortina.
The next and final item is item number 370-06, Alderman Sangiolo, Parker, Mansfield, requesting home rule legislation to allow advisory questions to be asked in the Newton special election. Ken's here, and do you want to talk about the item, or how do you want to?
I can say why I think it still matters. Newton has a long history of having Proposition 2.5 override votes in special elections in the spring. And often there's a need or an interest in having an advisory question on a ballot. And it always seems strange that we would need special legislation to add a question when it would be the best time to add a question. Because if you think about it, adding a question in the fall when you've got that jam-packed ballot with, you know, how many aldermen are there? There's a lot, anyway. I can't remember. and all those school committee members and maybe a mayor and whatnot. There's enough on that ballot. So if you want to get the sense of the community on something, what better time than when you're asking them to pay more taxes? And in fact, the other advantage is people might want to direct, well, I have some idea of how I'd like to see some of this money spent. And I think there was a suggestion that there be a resolution to improve, I don't know, the maintenance of something or other. I can't remember what the detail was, sort of a capital expenditure resolution. So I think the idea, though, that it shouldn't take home rule legislation every time you want to put an advisory question or permission from the Secretary of State or whatever it was going to be. Because it's just a quirk, really. Think about it. Right now, the Board of Aldermen can put an advisory question on a regular municipal ballot, just like that. Just pass it goes on. And the idea here was to allow the same thing in a special election ballot. There was a particular question that people wanted to get on one year when this was filed. I can't remember what it was. Ted, do you remember? Anyway, but the point being, the reason why it couldn't be done is it would have taken too long. By the time people thought of the question and the override was going to be on the ballot, it might have been the override. It might have been Vicky's special election, I think, that this came out of. But, you know, if there's a special election, that's a fine time to put an advisory question on a ballot, and why not allow it? It's not, this isn't like earth-shaking stuff, obviously, but it just seemed like it'll come up again eventually. And why not be the Board of Aldermen to have the foresight to put this tool into the hands of a future board at some point when they need it?
It's a time of financial restraint. And you're suggesting we run special elections? You know what a special election
is? No, Carlton, I'm not suggesting that the city run any special elections. I'm suggesting the city save the need for a second special election on a question by being able to combine things.
So if there is a special election, if there's an advisory question that the board would like to put on that same ballot...
On a regular election.
If there is one...
Right. For instance, if the mayor decides to have a special election for an override, he goes through that process. At the same time he has that election, the board can push forward any kind of advisory questions on that same ballot to avoid having to have yet another election on that. So, that's the intent of the item.
So,
Alderman Blazer.
I'll just ask a few questions because I don't really understand special elections and advisory questions, I guess. You can put advisory questions now on a regular election.
Yes.
But that's the only time you can do it.
Home rule.
Without getting permission from the legislature and the Secretary of State, or what was the process? I think it was actually a home rule petition to add it on. I think that was. But the irony is, you don't need home rule legislation to put a binding special election, but to have an advisory question on, you do. It's just a quirk of the system.
So what advisory special election questions have ever been held?
There was one on the Sidus of the Board of Aldermen. There have been a number of them over the years, but of course,
the reason I'm asking is, why would you want to have that not on the regular election ballot? Why would you want to attach something like that to a special election that's so rare anyway?
The thought was, they're not that rare. I mean, there seem to be every 3 or 4 years on average, I would guess.
One every 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we've had over the course. I mean, because there have been 3 overrides on the ballot in the last couple of decades, plus there was Vicky's special election, and I think there was another... There was a Ward Alderman one for the Ward 2 seat at one point. There was a citywide special election for Ward 8, right?
Myra.
Myra won, right? That was against Mitch before, then Mitch won the next one. Right. Anyway, I'm wrong, there's probably been one on average every 3 years, it seems like. Is this a huge deal? No, absolutely not a huge deal. But to the extent that, again, if you're going to have a citywide special election and you're spending that money anyway, why not maximize the value of the thing? It doesn't cost any more to throw an advisory question on there. And there was a sentiment at one point that putting an advisory question on with one of the overrides would have given people some more control over some input into how the money was spent, because there was a concern, I think it had to do with capital, and this may be 10 years ago now, but people wanted to have a resolution, have a advisory question that would ask whether some portion of the override be used for improved maintenance. So, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but why not have the ability to do that? That was the thinking.
Yeah, Ken and I disagree on, I have a different recollection about this item. I suspect it had to do with North. Where we were going with North, whether it was going to be the renovation or
I'm sure you're
the
right.
hybrid or something like that. That's my recollection of it. That's certainly probably why I signed on to the docket item. I am supporting this, and I would like to move this out of committee either way, but I would support approval of this because I anticipate that we will have more special elections, particularly if the city moves towards debt exclusion questions. A question like reducing the size of the board, I think it's hard-pressed to find that many aldermen who would want to put it on the same ballot when they're going up for election. Maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not a good thing. I mean, the other issue, reason to have advisory questions, particularly when it's an override vote, it's usually a higher turnout for an override vote. Because people care about the taxes more so than who you're, which alderman you're going to elect, unless it's a mayoral or a presidential. So anyway, that's my...
Even the mayoral elections, they overrided 50% turnout one time.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's higher than most mayorals.
But is this necessary?
I don't see how it hurts. I mean, otherwise, if we wanted to put an advisory question, we'd have to file home rule legislation every time we wanted to do it, as opposed to just asking the legislature, can we just have the blanket ability to do it? Alderman Hussman.
Do we know whether we can even do that?
I thought that the reason that this is still on the docket was because we were told we could move forward with it, that we needed to get it approved, but certainly if we vote this out and the law department says we can't, because the law department is going to be the one who's going to draft the home rule legislation.
I didn't know whether someone would ask the law department that, because I mean, I'm not sure you can do it as a blanket matter, but I just don't
think so. I think you can.
Anyway.
I think we look into it.
Any further questions or comments? Is there a motion? I will move approval, and what I'll do is I'll do it subject to a second call. So I will put forward the question to the law department, can we do this? If it turns out that the law department has a different opinion, we'll call it back in into committee, and then we can vote to NAN it or figure out what the next step is. Okay? So motion to approve. All those in favor? That's three. All those opposed?
I abstain.
Are you abstain? Okay.
No, I didn't know we got to abstention.
All of those abstain.
Three abstentions.
So it's not going to be reported out.
303.
No,
it is.
Three in favor.
That's it?
Sure. That's a pass.
Even one.
No, three in favor,
no,
zero.
No,
I mean, no, even one
oh, three,
five.
Three,
one five. Time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're fine.
Excellent.
Three
right.
is more than zero.
So that's what we'll do. So
we have to vote on that.
Thank you, Ken, for coming. So
thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Okay, that concludes our meeting tonight. I would ask that all the committee members go back and take a look at what's remaining on the docket. If there are items that you have, we can move them forward, great. If there are items that you guys would like to see moved off the docket one way or the other, let me know, and we'll try to process as many as possible.
I think you hit all the oldest, most of the older ones.
I listened to your comments. I wanted to get the 05 one, but the 05 one wasn't quite ready. So.
Okay.
Oh, that's still fine.
Okay, with that?
Okay, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. All those in favor?
Yes.
We are.